This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. On today's program, we will begin a new series of messages focusing on becoming a more effective disciple for Jesus Christ. Stay with us for the first of our I Will series with the message, I Will Worship.
It's good you're here to worship with us today. Stay tuned in and you'll find out why. We begin in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you for the privilege of approaching your throne of grace in worship today. You are so faithful and gracious and mighty, and you are worthy of our praise. So may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. May this next half hour be pleasing to you. In the name of Jesus we ask this. Amen. Our reading for today is taken from the book of Acts, chapter 2, beginning at verse 41. So those who welcomed Peter's message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 persons were added. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Awe came upon everyone because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles, and all who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. Dear friends, a number of years ago, a book was released that became quite popular, a bestseller. It was entitled Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, by Stephen Covey. Covey had studied people who were effective in attaining their goals in business, in relationships, and so on, and he came up with seven common traits that contributed to their effectiveness. It was a bestseller. Let's pretend that you and I were asked to write a book, Habits of Highly Effective Christians. First, we would need to define what is a highly effective Christian. Well, a Christian, first of all, is a person who trusts in Jesus Christ as his or her Savior and Lord. And a highly effective Christian, I suppose some might say, well, it's someone who really knows their stuff, knows the doctrines, and is a good representative of the faith. And there's some truth to that, of course. But I remember Jesus saying to his disciples in John's Gospel, I chose you that you should go and bear fruit. In other words, a highly effective Christian is someone who is bearing fruit for Christ, making a difference for Jesus, an outward-focused individual that is leading others to at least consider Jesus as Savior and Lord. Every day as followers of Jesus, you see, we're surrounded by needs of people around us that we're called to impact. There are emotional needs and spiritual and physical needs. And the question is, how then can we effectively make a positive impact on those lives for the cause of Jesus Christ? What are the habits, as the book says, of highly effective Christians? Well, we actually have a book that has been written to tell us that. It's called The Bible. And it points us to certain practices that need the Christian's attention and commitment and will help us be effective in impacting people for Christ. We're going to take a look at a few of those things over the next 3 weekends in a little series I'm doing entitled, I Will. The inspiration behind this series was a new book that was written for the Church of Jesus Christ, written by Tom Rainier with the same title. In today's story from Acts that I read for you, we find some Christians that were actually having a very positive impact on others around them. It's the early days of the church right after Pentecost. How do we know that they were having an impact? Did you notice the line at the end of the story? And they were praising God and having the goodwill of those around them. And the Lord added to their number daily. They grew as a church, effectively impacting people. So we need to ask what was behind their effectiveness. After 3,000 people had been baptized into the faith, the disciples had their hands full, didn't they? They had a church, and now what do they do with them? Well, it says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers, and they spent much time together in the temple, and they were praising God. The first part there says they devoted themselves. What does it mean to be devoted to something? Well, to devote is to describe language that's about passion. It's heart language. They gave themselves totally over. They were all in. And what were they devoting themselves to? To being together, hearing from the apostles about Jesus and God's plan, breaking the bread and praying and praising God. What is being described here by our author? He's describing worship, isn't he? Worship was not an elective for those early Christians. It was a core course for them. It was vital. After all, God commanded it, didn't he? Remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. Many of these people had that Jewish background. They knew that commandment. The disciples also had seen Jesus model this as they lived with him for those 3 years. He would go to the tabernacle to teach, as was his habit, Luke 4. And Jesus had taught them, according to John 4, that God is actually seeking true worshipers who will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. They needed to be together in worship. And on this basis, then, we teach that the importance of worship cannot be overstated for the Christian. In my congregation, when we bring new members into our new members class, we teach them how important it is that they come and worship with us. We offer several worship times to make it possible for everyone to attend if they're not homebound. And for those, we at least put the messages on our website and bring them communion. Well, Christian Crusaders actually exists to offer worship to those who cannot make it to church. We know that many of our listeners are not able to attend a corporate worship service with others, and that's why this radio ministry came into existence in the first place, so that you can be a worshiper. And even though you might not be able to see one another, you're united in worship before God and His holy word. Worship's important. It's good you're here. Unfortunately, there's a downward trend in worship participation among Christians today in the United States. There are many people who have come to treat it as an option and have replaced it with other items that they consider mandatory. There's such competition for Sundays. There's athletics and recreation and vacations and cabins and people who say, I can't get enough sleep during the week. Sunday is the only day I can catch up. And there's an emphasis on individualism in our culture, of course. So we convince ourselves, well, I can worship by myself in whatever way I see fit. children are not being taught the importance of worship. They're being dropped off at Sunday school instead of parents bringing them into the sanctuary. Somewhere behind all of this is some poor theology that came into existence, kind of a consumer attitude that the church is here to feed me and to entertain me and meet my preferences. And if you'll do that, church, then maybe we'll show up a couple times a month. Well, Jesus tells us that's just bad theology. Good worship, you see, according to Jesus, worships the Father in spirit and in truth. We find that in John 4. Worship is about God. He's the audience, not you and me. In true worship, God is the audience and the cast is the assembled body of Christ. We're performing for Him. We are coming in humble adoration to the King, to whom we've been called to give a command performance. Leith Anderson writes in his little book, Winning the Values War, "Worship is acknowledging the worth of God. When we worship God for Himself, we hardly notice who stands at the pulpit. We forget who plays the music or leads the singing. We barely think to praise musicians or worship leaders. We're so caught up in loving and praising and worshiping God that everyone else just becomes invisible almost and unimportant because our hearts are filled with God." Pastor Rick Warren says, if you've ever come out of a worship service and said, "I didn't get much out of that service," you haven't really worshiped. The worship isn't about you. It's about Him, our Heavenly Father. Jesus says that good worship is about God, and it's done in spirit and in truth. In spirit means it's authentic, it's sincere, it's giving all your heart, soul, mind, and strength to God. And it's truth, it's accurate. It celebrates the truths about God's great love for us that He's shown us in Jesus Christ who went to the cross for us. And why it's so important is, first of all, God deserves it. Amen? I mean, look what He did for us. He rescued us from our sin when we were absolutely lost and it was impossible for us to have a relationship with Him. And then in the midst of that, He sent His only begotten Son to die for us on a cross and raised Him up again on the third day and promises us that whoever trusts in His Son has forgiveness. They shall be saved for eternity. That's worth praise and thanks. And we know that God desires that from us. And actually, participating in this worship actually brings us benefits. There's runoff on us. It increases our effectiveness because worship gives perspective to our lives. We, in worship, are reminded of who we are. We're sinners in need of a Savior. And whose we are. We've been made people of God, children of God through Jesus Christ. Worship builds community into our lives. It gives us a sense of home. We belong to something bigger than ourselves. It's our roots. Worship gives meaning to our lives. It's in worship that we rediscover what's the all-important thing, and that's to love God with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind, and our neighbor as ourselves as we live these days out following Jesus. Worship gives hope to our lives, doesn't it? For it's in worship that we see the big picture. Some days, I know, just seem so tragic and history seems to be out of control. But we get the big picture in worship. We're reminded that God has the last word over this creation, over this world of His. He holds this little planet in the palm of His hand. And He has the last word. We're able to see then beyond the tragic, the dark. And we see the light. Worship brings joy to our lives. You see, an amazing thing happens when we offer praise and thanksgiving. we end up having our hearts filled with joy. Think about how you, somebody's prepared a good meal for you, your spouse perhaps, and when they're done with the meal and it was delicious, and how fun and joyful it is then to pour out praise upon them for the great thing they've done for you. It gives you joy in praising. And so these disciples and all these 3,000 worshiped. And they had all of the goodwill of the people in the community around them upon them. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. They were effective worshipers. A personal question for you today as a follower of Jesus. Is worship a value in your life? I imagine that because you've tuned in today, it is. But it's important to remember that every decision we make, every relationship we have, every word we utter, how we use our time, is in some way an expression of our values. Everything we say and do is tied to what we consider to have the greatest and least worth in our lives. Does the use of your time reflect that worship participation is important in your life? Because as we've seen in this passage today, it's important for each of us, if we're followers of Jesus, to be a committed worshiper. As I said, our sermon series this month is entitled, I Will. It's basically a call to recommit ourselves to doing those things that will make us effective in impacting our world for Jesus. Last week, I performed for a couple a wedding renewal vows. They just had 25 years under their belts, and they wanted to stand before others again and say, I will love you, I will take care of you till death do us part. And basically, it was touching, very touching to see this, and that's what I'm asking you to do today with me, to make a renewal of your vows to God. I will devote myself to being a regular worshiper, to promise God and yourself that you'll show up each week to worship. Your appointment with God's a priority in your life. You'll pray up before you turn on the radio or go off to a corporate worship service. You'll pray that God would be pleased with your worship, with our worship, and that you would lift up your heart in worship. Not merely being a spectator, but giving God your best, singing along, tuning in with the prayers, and so on. So if you're in, here's a prayer of commitment you can repeat after me now. Let's pray. Lord, I will show up, pray up, and lift up your name in worship. I love you, Lord. And I want to be effective for you. Amen. It's good to be worshiping with you today. Amen. Now, as you go on your way, may Christ go with you. May he go before you to show you the way, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over, and within you to give you his peace. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray today's message has encouraged you to devote yourself to being an active participant in the fellowship of believers. Christian Crusaders appreciates the generous support we've received from our listeners. One way your support can help the lives of others continue to be enriched through the hearing of God's Word is to remember this ministry in your estate planning. For more information on estate giving, call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484 or visit us online at www.christiancrusaders.org. Be sure to check us out on the internet, where you can find printed and audio versions of today's program, as well as past programs. Our website address is ChristianCrusaders, all one word, .org. CDs and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of any amount to help cover production and mailing cost is always appreciated. You can send your request to Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613, or by calling us at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. We are happy you chose to worship with us today, and we pray you will join us again next Sunday on this station. Conducting our service was our speaker, the Reverend Steve Kramer, senior pastor of Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in Afton, Minnesota. Christian Crusaders, on air and online, now in its 80th year of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.